He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
I look at the West and I'm like, I know the Thunder are better than the Lakers. That's how I feel right now. I'm not sure certain that I can say that about other teams in the West, you know, that I know that they're better than the Lakers. And like, that's a good place to be.
I think that's how I would put it too. I still feel a little bit that way because Jokic just terrifies me, you know, and I think eventually he's going to make it work with Cam Johnson and eventually he's going to make it work with like that team's like, Jamal Murray is finally in shape in November, which is not normally something you would say about Jamal Murray. And I'm kind of curious how that's going to carry through to the rest of the season. But I do think it's a conversation between those two teams. Yeah. And I did not expect it to be a conversation between those two teams heading into the season.
Like Ayton has historically played well against the Nuggets. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't hate that.
Well, there was a reason that all like Nuggets fans and Nuggets podcasters freaked the freak out when the Lakers traded for Luka. I mean, like of all of the fan bases out there, that was the fan base that was the most angry at the fact that the Lakers had just gotten this guy. So that's definitely a good point worth mentioning. All right, Sabrina, your work is at The Athletic. You cover all of women's basketball there, college basketball. I don't know why it was like a blind spot for me that like college basketball is back, even though of course it's back with the NBA being back. I don't know why it was like surprised. Like,
yeah, so we're right in it. Yeah.
I don't know why that surprised me. And you host or you co-host the No Offseason podcast, which is an apt name given the joke that I just made there. But anything else that anything specifically there that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
I mean, not really. It is the first weekend of college basketball season, so there is a lot of preview content up at The Athletic. The last couple of shows on our podcast are very college basketball, what to expect this season heavy. So, you know, check those out if you're trying to get a feel for this season. And the WNBA is currently undergoing collective bargaining negotiations. So if that's your particular speed, I have done a lot of work on that. You can listen to the podcast. You can also check out The Athletic show, which came out last Saturday, where I talk in depth about CBA stuff. So basically anything you could possibly want to know about women's basketball, I've got something to help you out there.
The new league that NECA joined up with.
Well, we've like, talked about Project B too. That'll happen this week too. Yeah. Project B, Unrivaled, you know, college, WNBA, like any particular flavor of women's basketball, you can go to The Athletic and we will be discussing it or writing about it. I can promise you.
I kind of feel like at some point, like this kind of feels like, you know, with comic book story arcs, you know, everything would just broaden way out and it would reach a breaking point to where like all comic book fans would collectively say like, what are we doing here? And finally it would like kind of consolidate back up and you would like, you know, all of your favorite characters would finally be back where they kind of belong and stuff. And I feel like these CBA negotiations are the opportunity for those story arcs to kind of come back together and for the WNBA to be the league that it should have been this whole time. That's kind of my hope. Is that hope misplaced, would you say?
If you were to talk to the owners of the WNBA and the commissioner, that is absolutely their hope, is to consolidate everything into the WNBA to make it so that players don't have to go to other leagues as they have in previous
years. Are they willing to pay for that?
Years. That is the question, right? You got to make it worth their while.
I really appreciate you hopping on here, Sabrina. It was on late notice. This game was so fun, and then it got so drunk at the very end that I was like, I need to talk to somebody about this. I can't just bounce around in this window on my own.
Anything would approach Lamar Odom just walking the ball in, and Phil Jackson just giving him like, "What the f is wrong with you?" look on the sideline. But no, Marcus Smart beat it. This is the Lakers inbounds like, I will think of now.
Smart's on the sideline. And you know how much it takes for Marcus Smart to be like this on the sideline? He's just standing here with a towel over his face because he realizes he just made the dumbest mistake of his like, I'm not kidding. That's day one basketball stuff, you know? And like they said on ESPN, Rui is 30 feet beyond anybody there. It's not like you needed to get the ball to him ASAP. He was wide open. But no, I appreciate it, Sabrina. This has been a lot of fun. I'm going to hang out here for a little bit longer and answer some of your guys' questions and comments. But check out all of Sabrina's work at The Athletic. She is, like I said earlier, way better at this stuff and way smarter at this stuff than I am. And I've really appreciated and been able to watch you grow in this industry. It's been really cool. So thanks for hopping on, and I'll talk to you soon.
Later.
All right, so let's go ahead and dive on into some other topics from this game. And where I kind of wanted to start, look, I've been positive this whole show, basically, and I've considered the Lakers title contenders. And this isn't even a criticism of the Lakers per se, but we got to have a conversation about the refereeing in this game because it was freaking garbage between the two teams. Well, for one thing, if both of the stars involved in the game are in foul trouble, that tells me that the referees lost the plot.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So that's one place I could potentially start. But no, statistically, the San Antonio Spurs shot 40 free throws in this game, and the Lakers topped that with 44 free throws. There were 84 free throws between the two teams in this game. And like Sabrina said, this was an almost 3-hour basketball game. Sometime in the next week or so, I'm going to talk to Ethan Strauss about his article recently about how baseball's World Series have both, you know, the last couple of years just absolutely wiped the floor with NBA, the ratings from the last two NBA Finals series. And this notion of, hey, is baseball retaking its spot as the number two sport in American professional sports? I don't know that I would necessarily go that far, but how you arrive at a place like, you know, where that even becomes a conversation again, is with this nonsense where you have a basketball game between two teams that are on similar in similar spots. They both have really exciting players up and down their rosters. And you have superstars who are sitting out of the who aren't available at all. You have guys who are kind of like on the cusp of being available, but like the team decides to kind of hold them out. And then you know, even with the superstars who did play in the game, they were kind of taken out of the game for long stretches because the referees decided it was the game that all of the tic-tac stuff needed to be called. And yeah, like, was this an overly physical game? And yeah, you know, what did some of this stuff need to be called at some point? Sure. But I just thought it reached a point at various moments and various stretches over the course of the game where it was like foul, foul, foul. And it's like, can we go a possession without a fucking foul? Can we go a possession without free throws? Can we give that a go? Can we let Luka Doncic be Luka Doncic? Can we let Victor Wembanyama be Victor Wembanyama? And one of the things I was kind of nervous about coming into this game and one of the trends that I've been kind of nervous about is normally at the beginning of a season, you'll have the referees all kind of on the same page with the decision of, hey, the grifting stuff, we're not going to reward that as much at the beginning of the season. And then we'll kind of work it back into the recipe of an NBA game over the course of the year as guys get more tired and stuff like that. But no, this season, they've just been rewarding the grifting from day one. And I just don't think that is very good for the sport. And, you know, I brought up the Major League Baseball a second ago for a very particular reason, in that baseball saw that it was becoming, through tactics, through rules, through approaches to the sport, baseball recognized that it was becoming less and less and less and less and less watchable. And they did away with the shift. They brought the Ghost Runner in so that those extra inning games didn't go to like 23 innings in regular season games that nobody cares to watch. They brought in the pitch count so that these games wouldn't go for 4 hours with, you know, and with them still being 9-inning games. And lo and behold, through some of these rule changes, whether they had a direct impact on viewership or whether it's just because the Dodgers got Ohtani and have won 2 straight World Series and they are now the big bad villain that everybody wants to see lose, whatever it is, baseball had, you know, at the very least showed its fans that they are willing to impact or make changes to a sport when it's very clear that those changes need to be brought about. Whereas like with the NBA, every so often they'll be like, there was that one stretch randomly where, you know, all of a sudden referees across the NBA decided they weren't going to reward grifting for a bit and did so kind of rogue, and then scoring dipped. And if you were in on the take, you bet unders and made a shit ton of money. For some reason, that wasn't a bigger story. But like now we've gone the opposite way where Adam Silver has basically decided that there's a direct correlation between individual scoring output and ratings on a night by night basis. And I just don't think that that is the proper takeaway from watching these games. People want to see physicality. They want to see defense. They want to see these guys have to play through some stuff to be able to put out the kind of stat lines that some of these guys are capable of putting out. And I thought tonight was just a brutally refereed game. And I had my issues with how the Lakers were refereed, but I don't think Spurs fans really loved how this game was refereed from their sake either. And if both sides and if both teams walk away from this thing, like angry at how the game was refereed, that tells me that there was a problem. And this being an ESPN game, this being a game between Victor Wembanyama, a guy who was probably a year or a few away from being anointed as the best player in the league, and Luka Doncic, who is in the middle of that climb himself. Like, this should have been a game where those two guys are just going bucket for bucket, and their team is going, you know, either stop for stop or bucket for bucket. And no, it was like free throw for free throw. And that was just, I thought, a really unfortunate outcome to what should have been a really fun game. It was still a really fun game, but it was less fun than it probably should have been. I want to dive into some of your guys' comments here. So we will go Bashir, off topic, but worth a mention. Ramona was on ESPN and mentioned Rob was in and is still in contact with Friedman. Mold over free agency together, like Andrew Friedman. Is that what you're saying, Bashir? I clarify that, and then I'll come back to your comment here. When I can, let's see. All right, Oliver Garrett, because we are winning games right now, so I'm thinking we don't need LeBron James anymore. I'm just not willing to go there. I will never, until I see LeBron James actually washed, like microwaved piece of well-done steak washed, I am never going to be of the opinion that a team doesn't need LeBron James. It would be one thing if like it was Austin and LeBron who were keeping the team afloat, and you know they somehow sat at 7-2, and they were getting ready to work, like maybe not Luka because he's a top 5 player in the world, maybe even probably definitely higher. But let's say this was Ja Morant was in Luka's spot on this team and LeBron and Austin had kept things afloat and you were getting ready to add John Morant back into the group, I would be sitting here and saying, does it make sense to maybe move Ja while you can and supplement LeBron and Austin with, say, Anthony Davis? Or, you know, like, I would. There are some players who have, like, star capital in the league who I would say, I don't know if that's necessarily what this team needs. That's not the case with LeBron. And the reason that I keep on saying it is because he played a certain way without any superstars and got the Cleveland Cavaliers to the NBA Finals in his first stint there. Then he went to Miami and he played a certain way with Wade and Bosch. And then he got back to Cleveland and he played a certain way with Kyrie and won a championship in Miami and he won a championship in Cleveland. And then he gets to LA and he plays a certain way without any other superstar again. And then the Lakers add Anthony Davis, and that's a completely different approach that LeBron takes there. And he's able to make that work to the tune of a championship. Like, this dude, all he has ever done over the course of his career is approach the sport of basketball or approach the team that he's playing on, look at it, identify what he needs to do to make it the best version of that team that he can possibly make it, and then execute that vision. And I think, you know, and again, dating back to heading into the season, I think he's identified what he'll need to bring to the table whenever he starts playing again. And I think he's worked really hard to mold his game in a way that allows him to execute that vision. And now we'll see, like, maybe he does get to, you know, get out there again in that November 18th to 23 range. And maybe there is some stumbling out of the gates there, or maybe he isn't comfortable shooting off of the catch or attacking off of the catch as he was kind of hoping to be. Maybe it's altogether possible. He's 41 years old. Like, learning to play a completely different brand of basketball at 41 years old seems kind of difficult. Shit, I'm 39 and playing any brand of basketball seems really difficult. So, like, it might just be that he gets to the Lakers and the fit is so clunky and is never fixable or whatever. But LeBron has solved every other basketball problem that he's been presented with over the course of his entire career. I think he'll be fine, man. And I think the Lakers, a team that already sits at 7-2, is probably going to be just fine when they add LeBron James to the equation that they're currently working with. All right. Bashir did clarify. So, all right. So Bashir saying that Ramona was putting pushback on the idea that the front office would have significant changes and said Friedman and Rob were already in constant contact. Well, Friedman wouldn't have anything to do with this though, right? So, like, it would be Walter and Rob and their relationship that I would care a hell of a lot more about than Andrew Friedman and Rob Pelinka. And look, I've said this already. So I think the outline is already kind of there where Mark Walter and his group bought the Dodgers. And when they bought the team, Don Mattingly was the manager at the time, and he was maddening. Really enjoyed beating him in the World Series. And then Ned Colletti was the, you know, GM of the Dodgers at the time. And Mark Walter and his group, they buy the team. And when they get to the team, they take a look around at everybody who's in their various gigs. And they do some heavy evaluation of what needs to be done and what needs to be tweaked and what needs to be supplemented or what needs to be outright replaced. and came to the conclusion that it was like time for Ned Colletti to start his TV career, and that it was time for Don Mattingly to head to Miami and try to be a manager over there. And so they, you know, after they make those decisions, they bring in Andrew Friedman, they bring in Dave Roberts after one of the lengthiest and most arduous searches for a head coach that I have ever seen, and definitely the most arduous and deep and thorough search that I've ever covered. Remember, I was running Dodgers Nation at the time when they hired Dave Roberts. I was there for his intro presser. And I remember covering every new name that the Dodgers brought in, and eventually they landed on Dave Roberts. And yeah, I would say that's worked out pretty well. And what I think is probably going to play out here is that, you know, Walter is going to pay very, very close attention over the next few years, maybe a couple years, I would probably say at the very least, to how the Lakers are operating with Rob Pelinka and with JJ Redick at the helm. And he's going to make some decisions as to which jobs need to be further supplemented or which jobs or which people need to be outright replaced. And we'll see what that looks like at the end of that process. But one thing I can confidently say is that no matter what decision Mark Walter comes to and what decision Mark Walter's entire ownership group comes to, it will be made not because of proximity to friends. It'll be made not because of, you know, which yes people somebody prefers to have around. Based on how they've handled things with the Dodgers, I can confidently say that whoever they do hire, whether it's sticking with Rob Pelinka or bringing in outside help, whatever decision they wind up making there, the Lakers will employ the best people that, or the right people is how I'll say. Maybe not even the right people, because you never really know. Like, you know, the results play a role in whether or not somebody is the right people. But I will trust that whatever decisions are made at the end of that process, they will be made through a legitimate process. And I always kind of go back to the hiring of JJ Redick, and it's worked out to this point. So sometimes poor process leads to decent results. But like with JJ, they basically embarked on the process of hiring a new head coach with JJ as the guy that they wanted to find. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But I, you know, you look at the people that the Lakers have hired over the years who have worked. Frank Vogel comes to mind. And you compare Frank to some of the guys that they wanted to find when they set out on the process of finding their next head coach. Darvin Ham comes to mind. Luke Walton comes to mind. JJ Redick comes to mind. And it's a bit more of a mixed bag with that second category of coach. So I, you know, look, is this going to happen right away? Probably not. Is this going to happen on a timeline that we are all comfortable with? Also, probably not. But whenever certain decisions are made and certain people are hired or certain positions are supplemented with further resources, I do think whenever those decisions are made, we'll be able to be like confident in the fact that, like, all right, yeah, that was probably the you know, a well-informed decision to make at the time. All right, we have a super comment, which means I get to play this bad boy. Pat Greedy says, how good is this Lakers team after 82 games? All right, so I asked Sabrina if, like, her expectations for this team have changed. She said yes. I also agree. I would also agree and say yes also. I headed into the season and I thought that they would probably win like 51 games again. after these first, let's see, what have they played? 9 games. I would up that to like 54, 55 wins is what I would probably anticipate that the Lakers will be able to win. I just think the West is going to be really difficult. I am getting a little nervous, of the dings and bumps and bruises that the Lakers have sustained to this point. Like, it doesn't get easier to get healthier over the course of a season. So that makes me a little nervous. But what I will say, and I think this is a lot more important than however many games the Lakers are going to win between now and the 82nd game of the season, this team is going to be a motherfucker in a playoff series. If everybody is healthy, and if the Lakers get a decent amount of reps to be able to implement and build a culture from now through to the playoffs, this is going to be one of those teams that nobody is going to want to face. OKC and Denver included, let alone every team in the East. I do truly believe in what these guys are building for the postseason. And here's hoping that they're able to stay healthy. And here's hoping that, they're able to carry out this momentum from here on out. But I think this team is playoff series 16 wins good. And, it's just a matter of whether or not they're able to continue that momentum and get the reps necessary to prove me right. All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge Podcast. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We have a really fun day planned for you guys tomorrow. It's an off day, I believe. Yeah, it is an off day. And there are two guests that I don't want to jinx, so I'm not going to give them away. But the way tomorrow's show is going to go is I'll record a quick intro, and I'll throw to a couple of interviews, and the people that I'm interviewing are people that I have been hoping to interview over the entire course of my career. So, I can't wait to put those interviews together and get that up on the feed, but you guys are going to want to tune in tomorrow. And then Friday, I don't want to overhype it, but my guest for Friday show, and this is an off week. We don't normally do an episode of The Hook in between Pete weeks, but I might be able to bring in a guest here who you would be really looking forward to hearing from on your favorite day of the week. So awesome slate ahead of you for the next couple of days. So hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. Subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Sabrina Merchant earlier in the show, one of my absolute favorite people and favorite guests. Check out all of her work at the Athletic. And until the next time you guys hear from me, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you tomorrow. Man, I love beating the fucking Spurs. Let's go.